Hello, we're very happy to see you here today to have you a part of our service. As we enter into the message portion, we will begin as always with a prayer. Thank you, most kind and loving Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We are so pleased that you love us, you care for us, you provide for us, and today we ask that you would speak to us, that you would use my voice, but the message coming from you, that I would get out of the way, that we could hear each one individually what you have prepared for us. With that, we thank you and we ask that you would guide the balance of this message in Christ's name. Amen. Today's title is Hope for the Anxious. Do you have anxious moments or thoughts in your life? Are they not the same anxious thoughts that come back around and around, things that just keep consuming you? Do you have solutions? Have you established what is needed to put those down, that they don't consume you? Today, we're going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1 through 11. This was our reading that was read earlier. Today's message, I will be using the English Standard Version for the message. Remember, over the last few weeks, we've been going through 1 Thessalonians, and we will be revisiting some of the same material. But remember that the church in Thessalonica was concerned about the return of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about their concern of those that had died before Jesus came, or those that would be alive when Jesus returned. Especially now, I keep hearing people talk about the end times. This has come and gone through millennia. Different generations have had the same discussions. I think part of ours here in the United States is the political moments that we're into right now. We hear a lot of what next, and is Jesus coming to return? Are these the end times? Does the end times give you cause for anxious thoughts? And I really would ask that you would reflect on that. Does the end time cause an anxious fear or an anxious anticipation? In chapter 5, Paul offers hope to counter insecurities regarding the coming judgment and Christ's return. In today's text, Paul uses metaphors or figures of speech to illustrate his narrative. Let's explore what Paul had to say, and I would add, it is still true today, what we will hear today. These apply from the same thing he shared with Thessalonica. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. Why did Paul say that? The first point that we will cover, and there will be four, but the first one is the solution does not lie in knowing the date. Jesus had said that he did not even know it himself from Mark 13:32. About that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus told the apostles in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. In Matthew 24, verse 44, the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. That is why Paul said, we do not need to write to you. This was not news to the church in Thessalonica. They knew that. They knew that Jesus didn't even himself know the date or the time. So this second coming was something that they were questioning, but they understood that the date wasn't available. In verse 2, Chapter 5, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Basically, Paul is saying, you know that nobody knows the date, and therefore you cannot know it either. In verse 3, when they say, there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. Paul uses two metaphors to illustrate how the Lord will come. In verse 2, it's like a thief in the night. In verse 3, as labor pains of a pregnant woman. Both metaphors teach that Christ's coming will be sudden. It will be sudden and unexpected, like the burglar in the night, and it will be sudden and unavoidable, like the laborer at the end of pregnancy. God is saying, Paul is saying to the church there and to us now, it is going to happen. If Christ is going to come suddenly, unexpectedly, and unavoidably, how can we get ready? How are we preparing ourselves for Jesus' return? Paul's words apply today. Keep that in mind as we go through this. The second of the 4 points. The right solution is staying alert. Back to chapter 5, verse 4 through 7. But you, beloved, are not in the darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night and those who are drunk get drunk at night. Spiritually speaking, will Jesus come in the darkness or in the light? Will he come at nighttime or daytime? The answer to this question is both. In the case of unbelievers, he will come in the night because they belong to the night and live in darkness. They do not know Jesus, or they don't believe in Jesus. Verse 5, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. We know Jesus. We know who he is. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is only if we are in the light that we will not be taken by surprise. As believers of Jesus, staying alert, knowing that he is returning, will not be a surprise. Paul is telling us to stay awake and alert. This applies to us today. In verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. Faith, love, and hope. We are equipped, prepared, and ready when and only when we stand in God's grace. The third of the 4 points. The foundation of Christian hope is God's salvation and Christ's death. Verse 9 of chapter 5. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through Lord Jesus Christ. That's our destination. Verse 10, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. As was answered last week, if you have died in Christ or if you're alive in Christ at his return, you will live with him. Verse 9 talks about God appointed us to receive salvation in Christ. In verse 10, Christ died for us that we may live. The whole journey, the gospel message, is of Jesus and his coming to earth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his return are all a part of what makes this happen, this truth that will occur. Our future salvation depends on God's purpose and our future life on Christ's death. The fourth point, we are to be a community of mutual support. Verse 11 of chapter 5, therefore encourage one another and build up each other as indeed you are doing. Summarizing the basic commandment of Jesus, the second part of that is to love each other, love your neighbor. And we can do that through faith, hope, and love. How do you encourage one another? How do you build one another up? And I realize that in this digital production, we can't just necessarily just respond to one another. But I ask that you would think about your answer to how do we do this? And when you are together with someone, when you have the time, share your thoughts with one another. Share how someone can be encouraged or built up. It is vital that we look and focus that direction. Some of the ways could be simply sharing a smile, a hug, or a squeeze of the hand. And in the COVID world, I know that is a challenge. To patiently listen to someone without interrupting, just simply listening to them, expressing sympathy to someone that is hurting. Extending friendship to others. We all need that friendship. Do not minimize what God is asking of us. Focus on what he is asking to encourage and build one another up. Jesus Christ is coming. The fact can cause anxiety rather than reassurance. The Christ who is coming to us is the very same Jesus who died for us and rose again. Now I want to touch on those four points. The solution does not lie in knowing the date. The second, the right solution is staying alert. The third, the foundation of Christian hope is God's salvation and Christ's death. And the fourth is to be a community of mutual support. Let's be anxious for the return of Jesus to the earth to set up his kingdom as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Anxious not in fear, but with anticipation. Be hopeful in looking to the return of Jesus Christ. How awesome is that going to be? Thank you for joining with us today. We would love to hear from you. You can reach us at gcderby.org or on our Facebook page on Grace Communion Derby. We thank you, Jesus, for your words to us, the encouragement, the knowledge that you are coming. And we do ask that you would bless and be with each one as we reflect on the words you've shared with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.